Have you ever done something, or maybe somebody's done something to you that just was really completely out of line? And you know, it hurt your feelings. I guess that's probably the best way to say it. It hurt your feelings, or it was a circumstance or a situation that really kind of hit you in the heart. Well, you know, how did that turn out for you? I want you to think about that and consider it for just a moment, particularly if it was something that you did that was an offense to somebody else. How do you think they felt about it? And what was the outcome of that? I want us today to look at some scriptures on yet another one of those favorite parables that we read in the Bible, the parable called the Prodigal Son. So we're going to be looking at passages out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Grab that Bible. Come on back. I'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, we want to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that all is going well with you and God is blessing you in a great, great, mighty way. It's a pleasure to have you with us for our Bible study tonight. A moment ago I mentioned we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. So if you haven't already, go ahead and turn on over to this. This is one of the very familiar passages, but one that each and every one of us can go to and just really grasp the understanding of God's love, even when it's a circumstance or a situation when we have messed up. Now, I've heard it throughout my ministry. There are people who say, I have messed up completely beyond anything that's imaginable. I don't see how God could forgive me. If that's you, I really want you to mark this part or mark this passage in your Bible. Come back to it often, because you're really going to get a real feel for God's love, his unending love for each and every person. So without any further ado, let's jump right on into our scripture. Luke chapter 15, and we're actually going to begin reading at verse 11. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning with verse 11. It says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided them his livelihood." Verse 13, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found, and they began to be merry.'" Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time around the word today. Father, as we come to you, we once again thank you and praise you for all that you are, all that you do. Lord, we thank you today that as we look into your word, we thank you for that forgiveness that we can receive through Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son and our Savior. Lord, I pray that today, no matter where we are, we will look at this and we will see the encouraging words and the love that you have for each and every one of us. And Lord, the forgiveness that is at hand, if we will only come to you with a repentant heart and ask your forgiveness. So Lord, I pray right now that as we take a look into your word, that you would open our hearts, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, and that your spirit would speak to us. Use me for your messenger for these moments, that you might truly be lifted up, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is one of those parables that I love because it says something and speaks to each and every one of us along the way. And first of all, it starts off and it begins talking about a rebellious son. So you have to understand some context of what the history was like back in the day that this took place. Now, let me carry you back to the first part of the passage. It says in verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them, now remember, the younger son was the one who would have less of the inheritance because there was an older son. But it says that the younger son, said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Now, I want to pause right there for just a moment because there's something very significant about this and something very significant about what took place there. You know, for the son to have done this in the culture in which they lived at the time, the son was basically saying to his father, Dad, I wish you were dead. So for him to actually take his livelihood and divide it out and give that to the younger son, by legality, yeah, it was as if the father were dead and essentially disconnected from that son. So it was more ramification than simply, well, Dad, you've got a lot of stuff, and I know there's me and my brother. I want you to go ahead and give me what my part is right now. No, there were a lot more ramifications to that, even to the point that it was almost as if the son was saying, Dad, I wish you were dead, because if you were dead, I would have this. So that was the way it was looked at in society when it came down to what this younger son was asking. Now, some of us would look at this and knowing maybe some information about this today that we've never known before, we would look at that situation and say, well, that was that was awful gutsy and in some ways kind of a stupid thing for the son to do. Well, you know how it is when you're young, sometimes you make some of those crazy decisions like that. And this younger son was one that did that. Now, it's interesting that what it goes on and it says, so he divided to them his livelihood. In other words, he went ahead and did what the son asked. I'm sure that when he did this, it was through a great amount of sorrow. It was through probably a great amount of tears that his son felt the way that he did. In other words, it was, he wanted to get out of the household. Maybe that was the reason why he did what he did. Maybe that was the reason why he decided that he wanted to go ahead and have what was supposedly going to be his when his father passed away. Maybe he just wanted to get out of the house. Maybe he wanted to flex his independence, whatever it may be. Some of you that are watching this broadcast have either been that prodigal son or you have had that prodigal son in your life. And you know that there are going to be some decisions that are made that are not wise decisions along the way. So it goes on to tell about how this son's life progressed. In verse 13, it says, many days after, the younger son gathered all together and he journeyed to a faraway country. And here's the key. And he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Depending on what translation you're looking at, it might say riotous living. Okay, so we know how that goes. All of a sudden, it was like, hey, I've got money. I'm going to spend it, man. I'm throwing it around. He was probably spending it on friends or so-called friends. But whatever was going on, he was spending money like it grew on trees. So then becomes a problem. The problem comes in verse 14. It says, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He didn't have anything set back for a rainy day. He wasn't careful with what he had. And pretty soon what happened was he found that he had spent everything that was called his inheritance that he had received from his father. It says then he made a step. Now, notice the first step wasn't to go back home. The first step was to try to solve the problem the way that he felt like he should solve the problem. And what he did, maybe out of desperation, it could have been that he was desperate in this particular situation, or it just could have been that maybe there was too much pride that said, you know, I can't go back home because I'm out on my own. I don't want to go back to the way things were. Or maybe he just, you know, was that type of son that couldn't go back and say, okay, look, Dad, you were right. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done this. Whatever the case may be, he didn't go back home first. What does it say in verse 15? It says this. It says, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine. So now what's happened is he's basically gotten him a job feeding the hogs on a man's farm. And it gets very interesting what it goes on to say about that in verse 16, and said, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. In other words, there was no help. There was nobody that was sitting there to say, well, here, let me help you out a little bit. There was nobody who was sitting there saying, well, here, let me give you a place to sleep, or let me provide a meal for you. Essentially, what was taking place was he had gotten to the point where he was on the bottom. Not rock bottom just yet, because rock bottom is an interesting place. It's even below bottom. Rock bottom means you can't go any lower. So what happens is this son finds himself, you know, feeding the hogs, and you know, he's out there doing his thing, and he was so hungry, it was basically saying that he pretty much was wanting to eat the pig slop because he had nothing for himself. And yet he was looking at pigs. He was feeding pigs and had food, and yet he had nothing. Now, down in verse 17, it's very interesting because verse 17 shows us where rock bottom is in this situation. Because it says, but when he came to himself, and man, if you're taking notes or if you've got your Bible out, underline that, because that to me is a very critical, critical statement. And when he came to himself, how many times do we have to go down the bad road? How many times do we have to make decisions on our own that are outside of what God wants us to do, trying to do it our way before we hit flat out rock bottom? That's where this kid is. He's in the situation where, you know, he's probably remembering what it was like that he had at home. In fact, I mean, he's not probably remembering that. He's definitely remembering that, because what does the word go on and say? Let's go back to verse 17. But when he came to himself, all of a sudden he's got no place to go. He's got no place to look. He begins to look at things through a different lens. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? You see, what was going on at this particular point, he's remembering how good he had it when he was at home, when he was under his father's roof. Not only that, he's not even talking about what it was like when he was there as his father's son. Notice what he said. He said, how many of my father's what? Servants. In other words, he's saying even the servants in my father's household have it better than I have. In other words, they're not out looking for a meal. They're not eating the hog slop for the evening. He says not only did they have bread, he says that they had more than enough bread to take care of themselves, to take care of their needs. Let me go back and read that latter part to you again. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? Not just enough to go, you know, to go around for them, but to spare. They had some left over, and I perish with hunger. Now he is beginning to realize what it was that he left. And then he says this. Man, when you hit rock bottom, you're ready to start making some smart decisions, because you don't want to be where you are anymore. You know that that's not the right place. But yet, I believe along the way that this son also was remembering the power of what he had done, the hurt that he had caused, the fact that essentially he had said to his dad, I wish you were dead so that I would have my inheritance and I could go on and spend it. Well, his dad gave him his inheritance. He went out, he blew it. He has no legal right to even be called his father's son anymore. So what does he do? He does something smart for the first time in this particular passage. He says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Now, I want you to think about something here for a minute. Have you ever been in that situation or circumstance where all of a sudden, you know, you get to that point, you are humbled, you've got to make some moves, and this younger, you know, guy, he is rehearsing what he's going to say to his dad. He's saying, I'm sitting here in a hog pen. I don't want this anymore. It is time for a change. It's time for me to go back to a place where I know. I'm even thinking about how the servants of my father had it. And he's saying this. He's rehearsing this to himself in verse 18. It says, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him. He's rehearsing this in his mind. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. Okay, so he realizes that there are consequences for what he's done. But yet he is sitting back thinking that even the servants in his father's household have bread to eat. They've got a roof over their head. They're taken care of. And he is rehearsing this speech he wants to make to his dad when he gets back home by going and saying, "Dad, look, I've messed up. You know, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you." And he even says right out, he says, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." Legally or otherwise, he's not. But what he's wanting to do is he's wanting to go back and ask his dad for a job, because he says, even being a servant in my father's house, I would be better off than what I am right now. So he's rehearsing this. He's playing it in his mind as he begins to make this journey back to his father. And then down in verse 20, it says that he took action. It's not just enough for you to think about it, folks. When the Holy Spirit is leading you and directing you, and you realize that you have been humbled and that there are some things that you need to do, you need to bring action about that. You know, thoughts without action don't lead to change, but thoughts with action do lead to change. So verse 20 says, "And he arose and came to his father." In other words, I can just picture him rehearsing what he's going to say on his way back to the house. It says in verse 20, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I believe with all of my heart that the father loved this son so much that he was always watching the horizon to see when and if the son would return. I believe that the father knew what the son was going to run into as far as life kicking him in the teeth, and knew that he was probably going to go out and make some less than wise decisions. But yet, that was what the father wanted. He wanted to see that son coming back over the horizon. Now, it's interesting enough that in this particular parable, we don't see anything about mom in this particular situation. There's a possibility that maybe she passed away during childbirth, or for whatever reason, she is not part of this story. So the father, who has these two sons who helped him on the farm, helped work with it, but were categorized, these two were categorized as sons, the dad loves them. So I'm sure that on his daily comings and goings, he's out there watching that horizon to see when his son. Notice it says that the father saw the son while he was still a great ways off. And it's very interesting what he says to him. Let me go back to verse 20. It says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion. Compassion. You see that word? Yeah, compassion. He felt sorry for the son's position. Sorry to the point that it moved him inside, that his heart was breaking for his son. And I know that many of you watching this can attest to that. You've seen your children walk down roads that they never should have walked down. You didn't walk those roads with them. You tried to give them wise counsel, but yet they didn't listen to you. And all the while, you kept a weather eye on the horizon waiting for them to return, much like this father. And this father had compassion. It's very interesting that in the story, it doesn't say that the father said, you know, when he saw him, he said, "Well, what are you doing back here after wishing me dead? You know, you got what you had coming to you. I told you so." He never said any of those things, but yet it says he had compassion on him. And it says that he ran, and it says he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And then it's interesting that down in verse 21 that the son says to him, and now he's going to give him the speech that he's been rehearsing from the hog pen all the way back home. It says, and the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight." Sound familiar, doesn't it? Just a few verses before, that was the speech that he was rehearsing. It says, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And here's an interesting point. Verse 22 says, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Now, I'm pretty confident that that was not necessarily the response that the son was expecting to get from his father. Remember, he's just going back to ask dad for a job because he's in a pretty tight place. I'm sure he had to eat a lot of crow, or felt like he was going to have to when he saw the father. But that meeting was not what the younger son thought it was going to be. You know, he didn't get the I told you so. He didn't get those things. But what he got was the compassionate hug, the compassionate kiss of a father who unconditionally loves that particular son. And instead of saying, okay, son, I tell you what, I'll hire you because, you know, what you did legally, that hurt my feelings, all these different emotions that could drive us to make wrong decisions. What he did, notice, remember what the word said. He had compassion on him and says, hey, look, don't worry about that. He says, told his servants, he said, go out and get a robe. Get a fine robe and put it on. Get a ring and put it on his hand and sandals on his feet and kill the fatted calf. Because my son who was lost is found. My son who was dead is now alive. So what you have is a father rejoicing over the returning of the wayward son. And man, that's exactly the way it is with God. Now, there is another whole message that we can talk about in the reaction of the brother from this point, but I won't go there today for the sake of time. But what I really want us to do is I want us to understand that when we get in a circumstance or a situation, when we get away from God, how many times has God said, this is what I have in store for your life, and we've decided that we're going to do it the Frankie Sinatra way. I'm going to do it my way. You know, God, I know this is what you said, but I'm going to do it my way. And your way fails. You find yourself like the prodigal son in the hog pen. Well, maybe today, maybe as you're even listening to this scripture, maybe as you're listening to this message, you find yourself in a hog pen saying, you know what? Life was a whole lot better off before I got to this place. Well, let me tell you something. I hope and pray that this is the time, like the prodigal son, that you come to yourself. And that you're being truthful and you're being honest with yourself, and that you're going to do what it takes to return to the Father. Now, remember, a parable is a story that Jesus would tell those that were his listeners that was something that they can understand to help drive home a biblical truth. Well, the biblical truth that God wants to drive home today is that he is a compassionate Father, and no matter what you've done, if you've wandered off, if you have squandered everything that God has allowed you to be privileged to, he wants you to come home. If you find yourself in that hog pen today, he is saying, get up on your feet and come back to me. And what's going to happen is he's not going to simply offer you a job. He is going to fall on your neck. He's going to give you the kiss of a father, and he is going to say, put a robe on his back, put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet, and kill the fatted calf. My son, did you get that part? My son. He didn't say my servant. He had every legal right to say, you're no longer my son. But no, he called him his son. I can't tell you how many times in all of my days of ministry that people have said, if you only understood what I do or what I have done in the past, and there's no way God can forgive me. Well, I'm here to tell you for a fact, you're wrong. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you are still living and breathing, God is looking for you. If you have wandered away from him, he is looking for you to come back home. He is still like the father in this parable, watching the horizon, waiting for you. And by the way, let me add one little tidbit there. You notice what it says, and let me carry you back to exactly where it was, or where it is in the scripture. It says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose. Here's where it is. It's in verse 20. It says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and here's a key, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This was a noble man. This father was one who had wealth, who had status, who had stature. He doesn't run anywhere. So to even see this man running showed the depth of his love and his compassion. A noble man does not run anywhere. He walks. That's the way it is. And notice this scripture says that not only did he go out to meet him, folks, all you have to do is make the first step in the direction towards the Father, and I promise you, he will run and meet you. Put one foot in front of the other as you return to him, and I promise you that God will cut that distance. He will meet you there with all the love and all of the compassion that this world doesn't deserve. You know, he provides mercy. He provides grace. And man, how, yeah, we don't deserve it. You know, it's grace is actually defined as unmerited favor. We don't deserve it whatsoever. So this parable of the prodigal son teaches us about God's unending love. His love that has no strings attached to it. It teaches us about his forgiveness, and it teaches us about his compassion towards us. And not only that, not only does it teach us about his compassion towards us, it teaches that we need to be compassionate towards other people. See, we're reminded of the consequences of rebellion against God, but also the joy of being reconciled with him. So let us humbly come before him, repent, and experience.